Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So there was a man visiting a cattle ranch and was fascinated how well-trained the man's cattle dog was. Responding to different whistles and from that rancher, the dog herded the cattle into the corral and even reached up and latched the gate with her paw. The man said, "Wow, that's some dog. What's her name?" The rancher thought for a moment, then asked, "Well, what do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" "A rose." "Well, that's it." The rancher turned and called out to the house, "Hey, Rose, what do we call this dog?" That's an old joke. You didn't see that one coming? Well, I hope I'm not quite to the point of that rancher in regard to forgetfulness, but forgetfulness is certainly common for all of us. You know, sometimes it comes with age or just being too busy. Stress can cause forgetfulness. But because it's so common, we shouldn't be surprised if people forget things at one time or another. Frustrated, yeah, but not surprised. But since God is, he's God, we certainly don't expect him to be forgetful. So how is it then that he can forget sins? It can't be because he's susceptible to weakness of mind like we are. With God, not remembering is not a weakness. During this Lenten season, we've been talking about what the Bible means when it says that God remembers something. Remember what we were talking about? It means, when the Bible says that God remembers, it doesn't mean that he's forgotten. It means that he's ready to act. So in our reading, where we hear God say, "I will remember their sins no more," it means he's taking action. He chooses to forget our sins so that we might know that he truly is a forgiver. Now, we could also say that when God does not remember our sin, that he's taking no action. He's choosing to not do to us what our sins deserve. Our problem is that while God says he doesn't remember our sins, we find it very, very hard to believe it, because we can't forget our sins. We find it almost impossible to remember that God is gracious, but very easy to remember that God is just. As a just God, he must judge our sins. We see people thinking this way throughout the Bible. Job said, "When I remember, I am dismayed and shuddering seizes my flesh." And the psalmist said, "When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints." And the prophet Isaiah certainly knew how God should act toward sinful people when he wrote, "Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please, look, we are all your people." The response, when the people remembered their sinfulness, the response was moaning, groaning, and fear. When they remembered their sin, it was all they could think about, all they could see. They knew God, or thought they knew him. God, of course, is a righteous judge that must judge sin. And that's certainly true for those who refuse to believe. But God wanted those who had faith in him to see themselves, to remember that they are his children. He wanted them to see him differently, to see him not as judge, but as the forgiver that he really is. Well, what about us? I don't know, do we remember our sins even though God forgets them? Should we remember our sins? Well, I guess that depends on how you look at it. You know, we live in a time when most people say there's no such thing as sin. And sadly, even in the Christian church, there are loud voices proclaiming, and I'll say it, that heresy. when we did things we shouldn't have. The motto used to be, the devil made me do it, right? But now the motto is more likely to be, everybody's doing it. Or, I have a right to do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting someone else. But here's the problem with that kind of thinking. When God's law loses its sting, God's gospel loses its ability to heal. If God's intent was to simply turn a blind eye to sin, we have no need for a Savior. I believe the greatest disservice the church is doing to the world today is to say that there's nothing that God needs to forgive. When I first became a pastor, there were people, many of them pastors and leaders of Christian denominations, who said that all religions lead to heaven. So it didn't matter what you believed as long as you were sincere. But now there are pastors and leaders of Christian denominations that say you don't even have to believe in God. That a loving God will never let anybody be separated from him for eternity. But the clear biblical truth is that there will be many who won't be in heaven. And it breaks God's heart that this is going to happen. The Lord told Ezekiel, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God takes no joy in the fact that people will refuse to acknowledge their sin and receive forgiveness. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what repentance is. Repentance literally means to turn around. So many, maybe even most people, believe that repentance is recognizing your sin so you can turn around and stop doing it. But that's not really true. Are we to be sorry for our sin and try to avoid doing it? Of course. But that's not really what repentance is. Repentance is recognizing your sin and turning from it and looking to your Savior. It's confessing that what God says about us is true. We are sinners who have been cut off from him, and the sins we commit are proof that we want nothing less than to be our own God, to call our own shots. There are people who won't be in heaven, but not because God doesn't want them there, but because there can only be one God in heaven. I think C.S. Lewis said it well in his book, The Great Divorce. He said this, he said, "There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says in the end, 'Thy will be done.'" His point is that when someone says, "I don't want to have a relationship with God," they ultimately get their way. The unbeliever's wish to be away from God turns out to be his worst nightmare. So the fear of God's judgment, which follows acknowledging and recognizing sin, is necessary for our salvation. It leads us to see our sin and to turn to God for rescue and salvation. And that's true even for Christians. Remembering our sin isn't the problem. The problem for the Christian is remembering our sin and only seeing God as a fearsome judge who enjoys banging his gavel with the declaration, "You have been found guilty and your punishment is death." That's not the way God is. But we do sin. So what do we do about it? I mean, that's kind of the big question, is it? If we sin, how can God say he doesn't remember it? How can he say he won't remember it? How could a judge not remember the crime with which someone is charged? Well, I'm going to let you in on a secret that's no secret. God says he remembers our sin no more because Jesus Christ has paid it in full. God remembers our sin no more because he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The judge is able to be merciful, not by saying the crime never happened, but because the sentence has already been served by Jesus. And that's the truth that faith clings to. That's the gospel that can heal broken people. When we remember our sin and we let it crush us, let our eyes turn away from God, let it cause us to doubt God's love because our sin is just so terrible, we're saying that Jesus isn't enough. God wants you to take him at his word and to rejoice in the fact that he does not remember your sin because it's been fully covered by the blood of Jesus. There's nothing to see. God remembers sin no more and doesn't take any action because the action has been taken out on Jesus. Just as Jesus himself said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So when we're troubled because we remember our sin, God would have us turn back. Remember, that's what repentance means, to turn back. God would have us turn away from that sin and look at the Lamb of God, at Jesus, knowing that he has paid for that sin. And knowing that no matter what that sin may have been, we can, like God, remember that sin no more. Because sin that's been forgiven is gone from God's sight or remembrance. It's kind of like somebody saying, "Nothing here to see, move along." See, the Bible speaks of that forgiveness as total and immeasurable. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. It's gone. God remembers sin no more, so that we might see and believe that he is the perfect, merciful forgiver, the perfect, merciful forgetter of sins. God remembers it no more and takes no action of judgment against us. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote words I think you're all familiar with in his first epistle. He said, "We love," what? "Because he loved us," right? Now you can call that the gospel direction of love. Love starts in Jesus and comes to us, not vice versa. And there's a gospel direction of knowing, too. The night before he was arrested, Jesus prayed, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." How do you know God? How do you know that God is merciful? How do you know that God is the forgiver? Because just like love, knowing God starts in Jesus and then comes to us. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And Paul told the Galatians, "You have come to know God," or rather, to be known by God. And to the Corinthians he said, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as what? I am fully known." The gospel direction of knowing. How do we know that God is the forgiver? Because it starts with Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the grave, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and comes to us. two elderly women who had been friends their whole lives were living in the same nursing home. And one day one said, "I've known you for years, but for the life of me, I can't remember your name. Please don't be mad. Just tell me your name again." And the other lady glared at her and didn't say anything, just glared. And finally she said, "How soon do you need to know?" Let it sink it in. It'll hit you in the middle of the night tonight. You know, there may very well come a time when you or I forget even our name. But God never forgets. He never forgets it. He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the thoughts of your hearts. But thank God he doesn't know your sin. He remembers your sin no more, so that all of his actions for you are actions of forgiveness and peace. Amen.